Thanks, Bruce. If you'll open your Bibles to John chapter 15, we'll be there in just a moment. If I was going to name the most valuable assets that I possess in this world during my sojourn here, I would have to say that my friendships are probably the single thing that I value the most. I'm married to my best friend, and I have a number of great friendships, both here in this congregation and scattered across this country, even the world. And I can't think of anything that I value more highly than those relationships. To a degree, I believe that the success of an individual's life can be measured in the number and in the quality of one's friendships. Now, we all know and understand, as we've moved through life, we've had friends. There are two kinds of friends, if you want to just break it down into two broad categories. There are good friends, and then there are bad friends. And I suspect that most of you have had both kinds, both good friends and bad friends. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 13, there's a classic example of a bad friendship and what bad friendship does. The story of Amnon and Tamar, children of David. They were half-brother, half-sister. And Amnon began to struggle with something that was very, very wrong. He began to be attracted sexually to his half-sister. And he became so overcome with lust for her that he became physically ill. His closest friend, a man by the name of Jonadab, noticed this. And he came to him and said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I can tell that there's something terribly wrong." And finally, Amnon shared with his good friend his sordid little secret, his struggle that he was having internally. Now, Jonadab could have been a great friend to Amnon. He could have listened to him. He could have loved him in spite of this struggle. He could have advised him to get help, to seek counsel. He could have advised him in a variety of ways to be rid of this problem. He could have prayed for him. But he didn't do that. You know what this friend, this quote friend, did? He said, "You're the king's son. You can have anything you want." And he gave him a strategy that would allow him to rape his half-sister. Well, the story ends terribly. As you can imagine, lives were ruined. Amnon lost his life over this sin as part of the revenge from her full-blood brother. It was a sad story. We don't need friends like Jonadab. Jesus here in John chapter 15 talks about the relationship that He has with us. And notice what He says beginning in verse 12. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love one another." Jesus is the best friend that you or I will ever have, but He wants us to share that kind of friendship with one another. He wants us to love each other in the same way that He has loved and befriended all of us. You know, it's amazing how many kids get into trouble because of the choice of friends. You guys know how true that is. You get in with the wrong group and you can be in trouble up to your eyeballs in no time at all. It's amazing how many adults get into trouble because of poor choices of friends. The people that you run with that lead you down a road that you know better than to follow. I just wonder how many tragedies in life have at their beginning a choice of poor friendships. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, the wise man said, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." You know, you tend to become like the people that you hang with. People that you run around with, they either help you to be better or they pull you in a downward direction. Scripture also says evil companions corrupt good morals. Let me tell you what a true friend is. And I know all of us have opportunities to grow closer to certain people and develop tighter friendships with others. A true friend is someone who makes you a better person. If you want to use that as the test of what a true friend is, it's someone who makes you a better person. You know, that's the kind of friend we have in Jesus. He always makes us better. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, it describes a true friend. It says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." You got any friends like that? That anytime you're around them, you feel challenged to grow, challenged to be better, challenged to do right? I love those kind of friendships. And I've been blessed with a number of friends like that. People who make me a better person just by virtue of being around them. This tribute was penned by one person to another as a friendship tribute. He said, "I love you not for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. I love you not only for what you have made of yourself, but what you're making of me." Now, the true test of friendship is this. Ask yourself this question. Am I a better person when I am in the presence of this individual? I've got one of my dearest friends lives in Dublin, Ireland. And Tony Coffey and I phone each other nearly every month. He'll phone me one month. I'll phone him the next. And we'll talk on the phone usually about an hour every time we talk. And we always end in prayer. And I am always so encouraged by my conversations with Tony. Anytime I'm around him, I'm always built up. I'm always challenged to get into the Word and to be a better Christian, a better servant of God. He helps me be a better person. And I'm grateful for that kind of friendship. Remember on the road to Emmaus, those two disciples that were walking along with Jesus? And they didn't really know who he was, but he was telling them all that was said in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. And they finally recognized him as they broke bread when they stopped there. And they couldn't wait to get back into Jerusalem and to tell everyone that they had seen the risen Savior. And it's almost as if they're kicking themselves. And they say, "We should have known it was him all along." Because they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" Just to be around Jesus was to make your heart burn, to challenge you, to excite you in your faith. Now, a true friend is someone who makes you a better person. There's a second quality in true friendship. They're faithful. They're faithful to you. Good times and bad. Remember the story of the prodigal who went away with a pocket full of money and he had just as many friends. He was able to treat them to dinner and he could buy all the rounds of the drinks. But as soon as the money ran out, so did those friends. Those weren't friends. Some of you have known friends like that. They're friends until rough times hit, and then you don't ever see them. They're nowhere to be found. In Proverbs 17:17, we read, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Proverbs 18:24 says, "There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother." You know, one of the best definitions of friendship that I've ever read is that a friend is the person who walks in when everybody else walks out. Jesus is that friend for all of us. Jesus has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." There is no mess you could get yourself in. There's no low you could reach that would make Jesus turn his back and leave you. He'll be a friend to you. He'll offer a helping hand to you. He'll always be there for you. He's willing to encourage and help and love and forgive and clean you up and set you back on the right road. He is a friend that will always be there. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we're told, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us." A friend that was willing to die for us when we were at our very worst. Jesus said, "As I have loved you," here, "so love one another." He is a friend to us. He wants us to be that kind of friend to one another. Have you got friends like that, that will stick by you no matter what? I hope you do. It's a hard life if you don't. And I'm telling you, there are friends to be made and friends to be had right here within this church family. You know, another quality of true friendship is a friend is someone who will tell you when you're wrong. And boy, don't we need friends like that. Because all of us have a tendency to deviate and to get off the track and to become self-inflated or 100 other things. And I need friends who will occasionally bring me back to reality. And who will challenge me in some areas where I need to be challenged. Some of you have friends who encourage you to do wrong. Some of you have friends who will applaud you when you make poor choices. That's not the kind of friendship I want. In the seven churches of Asia, in the book of Revelation, when Jesus spoke there in chapter 3 and verse 19, He said, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." In Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Thank God for friends who have the courage to come to us and say, "You know, I think you need to relook at that decision you just made. I think you need to rethink what you're doing." I can guarantee you, if anyone has the courage to come to you and say that to you, you're talking to someone who is a friend, who's trying to be a friend in your life. Jesus is the model friend. He gives us acceptance. And you know, that's one thing we desperately need in our friendships. We need people who will accept us like we are, in spite of our flaws, even when we're not perfect. Jesus was known, and one of His nicknames was that He was a friend of sinners. Well, doesn't that make you feel good? I'm a sinner, and that means Jesus can be my friend. Jesus wants to be my friend. He was someone who could be around people who were struggling and who were known to be struggling. One person said, "Jesus does not change us so that He can love us. He loves us so He can change us. He helps us grow and to be better people. He wants us and He calls upon us to be the same kind of friend to one another." Are you able to accept someone who is doing wrong without condoning their actions? Can you love someone and their sin? If you can, then you are a true friend in the sense that Jesus was. You know, another thing about Jesus, was always willing to acknowledge people. However humble their circumstances, whoever they were, whatever their status, He always acknowledged those and listened to them. It's said of the Lord in Psalms 34:15, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry." I've had this experience once or twice in life where I've had people that I thought were good friends, and they told me call on them. And then I've seen those people really move up in life and move on into high circles. And I found occasionally when I would then see those people again that they weren't all that eager to acknowledge our former friendship. And that can be such a hurtful thing when someone that has done really well and moved on no longer has the time to spend with their former friends. Let me tell you, Jesus is in the highest of all circles. He is the most influential friend that you will ever have, and He still acknowledges you. He knows your name. He has time for you. He will listen to you. He will never snub you. He will never ignore you. He is a friend who will always hold dear the relationship that He has with you. In Psalm 116, the psalmist wrote, "I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live." You know, that's the desired response that Jesus has towards us. He says, "I am the friend who has died for you. I am the friend who is faithful to you. I'm the friend who will always acknowledge you. And I ask you in turn to be my friend." You know, the problem, and if there's not a good friendship that exists between ourselves and Jesus, it's not on His part. He wants us to be His friend. You know, Jesus appreciates and affirms us. Again, in those letters to the seven churches, Jesus began each one of those with an affirmation of that group of people. He told them what He loved about them, what He appreciated about them. And friends do that. Paul did the same thing in his letters. He had learned it from Jesus. He began those letters, however harsh he would have to be with those folks later on, he always began with love and affirmation in what he said to them. Jesus showed His love for us in choosing us. Notice what he says there in verse 16 of the section. He says, "You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you." It's a wonderful feeling when someone chooses us out of a crowd. That starts out when you're playing sports in elementary school and you're chosen to be on someone's team. And what a wonderful feeling that is. Jesus says, "You didn't pick me out of the crowd. I picked you out of the crowd. I chose you. I made the initial move of friendship. I extended my hand to you in friendship." And then he says the most amazing thing in verse 15. He says, I no longer call you servants. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from the Father, I've made known to you. Steve Martin said in his sermon during the gospel meeting, you know, we're not just saved to be safe. He says, we have been saved in order to be part of a greater enterprise. God wants us to be partners with Him. And that's true. Jesus here says, I want you to be a friend. You're not just a hired hand working down on the lower levels of the organization. He says, I'm not up here with the boss where nobody knows what's going on. He said, I've made my business known to you. I've come to seek and to save the lost, and I want you to become partners in the business. You're no longer hired hands. You're my friends. You're my co-workers. So He brings us to this new level in our relationship of friendship and partnership with Him. You know, friendship is an expensive commodity. It cost Jesus Christ His life in order to demonstrate His friendship to be our friends. Greater love has no one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. And I'm telling you, if you're going to be a friend, a true friend, and some of you need to be true friends to people that are in your lives, you need to be able to talk to them openly and honestly. You need to help them be a better person. And you need to maybe change some of your own habits in order to help them be better people. And if we're to do that, it's going to cost us as well. You know, to be a friend requires time. It requires effort. It requires love. It requires patience. And you have no more valuable asset on the face of this earth than someone who acts that way toward you. I want to close just by reminding you about the best friend that you have. His name is Jesus. And He is the best friend that you have ever had and the best friend that you will ever have. And Jesus says here, you are my friends if you do what I command. You know, Jesus is very personal in His friendships with us. He asks us to honor Him by obeying Him. He stands patiently at the door and He knocks. He seeks that kind of intimate friendship. He wants to be the most intimate friend that you have. And it's not so much that He loves all of us, is that He loves each one of us individually. You know, we look out at the sun and it seems so far away, especially on days like this. But that sun that keeps all the planets in its rotation is the very same sun that ripens the tomatoes in your backyard. And the Son of God who orders the entire universe, that we can see and that we can't see, is also the same Son of God that knows how many hairs you have on your head. What a friend we have in Jesus. Many of you already know the blessing and the comfort and the joy of His friendship in your life. But for some of you, He's still standing outside the door knocking, waiting patiently for you to respond to His tremendous friendship. And for some unimaginable reason, some of you have never allowed Him in. And so I want to just ask you today, won't you let Jesus be the friend to you that He can be, that He wants to be? Won't you let Him make you a better person? Won't you find a relationship with Him that will last for all of eternity? If you need this morning to respond to His sacrificial, loving act of friendship in dying for you and taking away your sins, won't you obey His commands? Won't you come this morning, if you've never done so, to be baptized? Won't you come this morning, if you need to make your life right? If you need His friendship, and I know you do, won't you come this morning as we stand and sing?